A recent audit out of the Oregon Secretary of State's office only confirms what a lot of Oregon parents already knew. Child care is expensive in the state. Compare income to child care costs, and Oregon is on top, in a bad way, with the most expensive child care in the country. A number of factors lead to the situation, and a set of recommendations arrive with the findings. The Audits Division of the Secretary of State's office performed the audit. Let's get into the process and the findings. Sandy Hilton is the Audits Manager in the Audits Division. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's our pleasure to be here today.
And the R you're referring to is Simone Reddy, who is a performance auditor also involved in the process. Welcome, Simone.
Thank you. Good morning.
So auditing is one of the basic functions of the Secretary of State's office in Oregon. Who or what, in this case, got audited?
Okay. In this case, we audited, we were looking at child care in Oregon, and particularly a subsidy program that is designed to help low-income families. That program involves the Department of Human Services, so they're a piece of this. In addition, though, because these regulations, there's going to be some changes coming about, it's also involving the Department of Education, the Early Learning Division. So those were our two primary agencies.
All right, the Department of Education and the Department of Human Services in the state of Oregon.
Yes, that's correct.
Uh-huh. This sounds like, Simone, a process of going through a lot of paperwork and checking a whole lot of numbers.
That's right. Throughout our audit, we reviewed quite a few policies, current regulations, changing regulations coming from the federal government. We talked to quite a few staff and also made visits to some child care facilities and spoke with providers about how those changing regulations are going to impact their work.
Was the changing regulations the starting point? And was it the impetus to do this audit in the first place? Or was it based in part on other reports we've received for the last several months about how expensive child care is in Oregon?
You know, we set out to determine how oversight standards in Oregon compared to other states and independent benchmarks. And the federal regulations came into our scope after we had begun the audit. It was also during the process of auditing that it came to our attention that Oregon had an affordability problem. So we also expanded the report to include some general information about child care costs. And we also explored some strategies that other states are using to help reduce the cost for parents.
So, Sandy, just in a nutshell, what is the issue with child care in Oregon?
It's a very complicated issue, Jeffrey. One of the things that we were pretty fascinated with, really, when we got into this, is that there is a really complex system of child care delivery in the state of Oregon, and how regulations are applied to those varying child care scenarios. So this particular, one of the things that we were looking at with this particular law change, it is designed to, of course, improve safety, which we all are excited about. But the unsubsidized, the subsidized providers that are, that help the low-income families receive child care, some of these providers are going to be subject now to more regulation. So we were looking at that and, you know, the cost of some of this regulation as well, too.
All right, so when we talk about new regulations, what kinds of regulations are we talking about here?
Well, a couple of things that are really changing here. One of the really big items is there's going to be now comprehensive background checks, which are going to include electronic fingerprinting. That is, and it's for everybody in a household that would have some contact with that children, or every provider that would have contact with that children, substantial contact with that children. So when you look at that, you know, you're talking about a very large increase. For example, for the subsidized program, we're looking at there's about 2,800 unlicensed providers. So those providers now are going to be subject to fingerprinting, where they were already subject to a background check, but not to the electronic fingerprinting. And they're also going to now have some inspection requirements. The inspection requirements is going to be new for those providers.
I can't imagine, given the disparity right now between income and expensive child care in Oregon, this is going to make anything better.
No, we think it could actually pose burden to providers. The electronic fingerprinting issue really complicates matters in Oregon. our audit identified the initial availability of those services in Oregon, and we found that those services may not meet the demand as we've estimated it based on the new caseload of providers that will be subject to this requirement, which primarily includes providers that are providing care with that are not required to be licensed.
All right. And what percentage do we know of child care providers are in this unlicensed category?
We do provide some estimates of the capacity and number of providers across Oregon. Those are estimates based on the Department of Human Services. There's a lot of churn in this particular provider population, referring to those that receive subsidies to care for children. Currently, it's about 4,500 providers across Oregon that are serving children in various settings through the subsidy program, and about 2,800 are not required to be licensed.
And how big are the subsidies? How is the subsidy program accessed by people who use it to help pay for their child care?
Parents apply for the program at their local human services office, and depending on their income, the number of children they have in their family, parents can receive anywhere from about $300 to $1,100 a month to assist with their full-time child care expenses.
And is it a sliding scale? I mean, obviously, you get more if you need more, it sounds like. But at any point, does the program sunset, or does it, I mean, when your income changes, I believe the subsidies would change as well?
That's correct. Depending on the child's age and the type of provider, the state is able to help parents pay for care. In our audit, we found that among subsidy programs across the country, Oregon's eligibility limit is on the higher end, so we're able to allow to help more people. But the copayment that parents are paying to cover the cost of care is also higher, so it has more of an impact on their out-of-pocket expenses.
And what are the copayments, for example, for parents in Oregon?
We have evidence that suggests around it can offset your costs from anywhere from $300 to $1,100 a month.
So that's what the subsidy is. So how much would a parent have to pay then? I mean, they would just pay what's left of that of the price tag without the subsidy?
That's correct. So the average cost for an infant in a child care center is $13,000. So it's a very small impact when you look at the average cost of care in Oregon. Of course, that varies depending on where you are in the state. Costs are lower in rural areas, and they tend to be higher in urban settings.
We're talking on the Jefferson Exchange about the cost of child care in Oregon relative to income. It's the highest in the country. Our two guests are from the Audits Division of the Secretary of State's office. Sandy Hilton is Audits Manager. Simone Reddy is a Performance Auditor. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions, comments about child care costs, and certification of providers. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So just by raw numbers here, and I'm looking at the summary section of the audit report, average cost of infant care in a certified center, $13,452, which puts Oregon at the 5th place in the national rankings. What is it that puts Oregon at the top of the list on affordability?
Well, one thing, Jeffrey, to consider on the affordability is a combination of things, and it's the equation also considers the income. So it's not only the cost, but it's also our median income. And in Oregon, in fact, there hasn't been, we looked at a trend here from 2004 to 2012, and what we have seen is that although costs have also increased 13%, income had actually decreased by about 9%. So that whole equation to figure what makes us less affordable, it's not just the cost side, it's also the income side.
So relative to income, Oregon?
It's relative to income. That's correct. And we like to make sure that that's kind of a clarity here to provide.
But that's a fairly, well, it's a fairly shocking statistic in and of itself. You're saying that as the cost of child care continued to increase, income actually dropped in Oregon considerably.
Oregon did. Of course, we were going through, a recession at that time as well. So, but it's definitely, it does take, it's relatively unaffordable. Now, these rankings have, there's been a new report that's come out. There's been a slight different change. But, it's still showing that we are relatively unaffordable. And, there's a lot of factors that play into that. But it is taking a large amount of income often to pay for child care.
And so there are some recommendations within this audit report for ways to move ahead, both the Department of Education and the Department of Human Services. What are some of the things, Simone Reddy, that were put out there as possible remedies for the situation?
So our audit offered recommendations on how the two agencies we worked with could come closer to complying and preparing to comply with the federal regulations. And also reduce any impact that potentially there may be on parents and children in Oregon. We recommended that the Department of Education and Department of Human Services work together to better identify the costs that are associated with these new regulations, which includes the cost of comprehensive background checks and inspections, as well as the cost of posting information about providers online. We also encourage the state to start tracking parents who stop receiving care, care that is supported by the subsidy program, and also providers that may move from unlicensed care to completely off the radar, providing care underground. And the reason why we recommended that is that we want to get a better handle on what the impact of these regulations might be on the provider community. Some other states that we spoke with were not keeping good track of the number of providers and the reduction in supply that may have resulted from implementing these new regulations.
Granted, you work with hard numbers, and it's hard to count people who don't particularly want to be counted, but do we have any idea of how many children, or at least how many families receive care for their children through systems or through healthcare system that is not family, but also not on the radar, as you put it?
That's a big question. We were able to look at different sources of information about the number of children needing care, the number of providers, but there's such a complex system of regulation and multiple agencies involved for ensuring safety. That it's very hard to sync up those numbers and get an accurate picture. We were able to provide some understanding for the public in terms of how many slots are available for childcare. It's very hard to say at any given moment how many are occupied.
Now, I noticed of the slots, it seems like it was 150,000. Was that the figure I saw?
That's correct.
All right, 150,000 slots for 165,000 children. Are there waiting lists at a lot of child care providers? Are people not able to get child care when they need it?
Well, I think as we mentioned before, there is a lot of seasonality to the use of child care. We see the increase go up in the summer months. Parents that are accessing the subsidy program in particular, their workforce demands, they tend to be very irregular. So they may need child care in odd hours. They may not be enrolling their children in certain types of care because of the inflexibility of those hours offered.
I know you weren't working with the Department of Labor here, but I wonder if there's any information that came through the audit that indicates that perhaps some people are not in the job market because they can't get child care.
That was one of the potential impacts of not being able to access or afford care. We identified some negative impacts primarily on children's learning. We recognize that child care is an opportunity for children to begin preparing for school. So if children are not accessing safe and quality child care settings, they're not going to be as ready to learn when they're ready for kindergarten. We know that child care can be a barrier for parents entering the workforce or re-entering the workforce, as well as participating in post-secondary education. And when parents can't contribute in terms of work or school, our economy suffers.
We're talking about the overall cost of child care in Oregon relative to income. It is the most expensive in the country. We're talking to Sandy Hilton and Simone Reddy from the Audits Division of the Oregon Secretary of State's office. They were involved with a recent audit report about the situation in Oregon, which took a look at the Department of Human Services and the Department of Education and also put some recommendations out. Join us on the exchange with your comments or questions about child care and its high cost in Oregon. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760 by email jx@jeffnet.org. So obviously, again, recommendations to both the Department of Human Services and the Department of Education. Does the audit division itself ever say, you know, this is something that somebody might consider changing in law and go to the legislature, or is it incumbent upon those departments to then address this perhaps legislatively?
This would be something that, you know, our audit reports are distributed out to the legislators. So this is something that, you know, we look at them as a user of our audit reports. So we provide them with that information. We go over, we are asked to, on a regular basis, testify to committees on our audit reports so that they have that information and they can consider it when they consider law changes. This will also, though, something like this is going to require more additional resources and all. Of course, the agency will have to put together their plans as they move through the budget process as well. So that's pretty much how that works. But we have a lot of involvement. When they ask us to come over and testify, we come over, we talk about our audit, share that information so that they have that.
The levels of certification, classification, whatever you want to call it, for child care in the state of Oregon, I remember three levels at one time. Is there more stringent, I mean, were there already more stringent requirements than there were, say, 20 years ago on child care in the state of Oregon?
You know, the one thing we learned in conducting this audit is that the federal program that supports what we call the employment-related daycare program in Oregon, also known as the subsidy program, the rules around that from the federal government hadn't changed in nearly 20 years. So what we had was, across the country, is very uneven program standards and oversight requirements that varied state by state. So what the federal regulations are doing is attempting to bring everyone up to the same level in terms of safety and health requirements. In Oregon, the federal requirements will fill some gaps, but they're not going to necessarily cover everyone. As we said earlier and in the report, there are providers that are not at all going to be affected by these regulations, and those would be providers that are caring for less than three children, caring for children from the same family, and we don't know how many providers are out there giving that kind of care.
All right, so the really, really small folks where it's like, you know, my sister-in-law watches my, actually, that might be a family situation. You can figure out where the lines are for us. But if you're watching, you know, the friend of a friend's kids for a couple of hours every day, and there are fewer than three of them, it's not, you're not in the system, per se, is that right?
That's correct. So we're talking primarily about licensed child care providers in Oregon as the majority. And then the real population of concern with these new regulations are unlicensed or license-exempt providers who are providing children that receive subsidy.
All right, so the subsidies are available to the unlicensed providers. That was the next question.
That's correct.
All right. So what responses have you received? I understand that at the tail end of the report that there were responses actually back from the Department of Education and back from the Department of Human Services. What were their official responses to the audit?
They actually, Jeffrey, this is Sandy, they actually agree with the recommendations. One of the things that they were aware that this was on the horizon and had been taking steps in that direction. The law had not passed yet, however, so because of that, you know, there was a limit to what they could at that point do. But they are planning on making changes, and the response to their recommendations was actually quite positive.
So the new regulations, and primarily it's the fingerprinting of the providers in addition to background checks, when do those click into effect?
Actually, they're going to be implementing that. There is a window of which they can implement that. And Simone, do you have the exact dates? I think it's like a year down the road.
The Department of Education and Department of Human Services in Oregon is preparing, I believe, to implement that in 2016. Although the federal program that supports the subsidy has been reauthorized.
All and right. Jeffrey, also, too, one of the things, too, I know we've talked a lot about the fingerprinting, but the inspection piece of it is going to be a really big change, too, because when you're talking about these unlicensed providers, they have not had somebody before having, you know, coming into their home and inspecting it. So that's going to be a big change for them as well.
Which means potentially some changes in their own things, you know, covers for electrical outlets, things like that that they might not have done before.
It could be, and plus, too, we don't know how this is all going to affect not only cost, but as our report points out, accessibility as well, too, because we're not able to say at this point how are providers going to respond to this additional regulation.
There's a lot of factors going into why child care is so expensive relative to income in the state of Oregon, and more changes coming up that could potentially make it even more expensive.
That's correct. Some of the costs that Sandy just mentioned around providers coming into compliance with these new rules can have an impact, and we are not sure how providers are going to respond to the new regulations. Some may be motivated to step up and meet the new requirements, but again, push that cost onto parents.
All right, I want to thank you both for joining us. Simone Reddy, Performance Auditor, Sandy Hilton, Audits Manager at the Audit Division in the Oregon Secretary of State's Office. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Take care. That'll do it for this hour of the Exchange. Mushrooms in hour number 2 coming up.